What is going on, everyone? I'm Mike.
I'm Bash.
Welcome to House of Pod.
Your Murder Hornet Task Force.
Yep, they're going to kill us all. Or we're going to have a string of giant birds because they're just going to feast on them.
Actually, there was a video of a praying mantis eating one. It was pretty satisfying. Apparently, praying mantis beats murder hornet. Well, one of them anyway, not a swarm.
In our quarantine, we all, the world collectively just turns its hate onto something that's just like, oh, look at this place.
Murder hornets.
Yeah, murder hornets.
Oh, if you'd like to see the effects of a sting for a murder hornet, look at Coyote Peterson at Brave Wilderness.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that? I mean, like, as a cautionary tale to just stay inside after the quarantine.
Out of sheer morbid curiosity. Oh, 11:25 if you want to skip ahead to the sting.
Oh, God.
That's gross.
They look like toys. They aren't, like...
Like savage murder toys.
Yeah.
They look like they're just pissed off.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, we got a ton to get through today. We got some AWNXT. We have our qualifier for our tournament of heroes and some villains too. Mm-hmm. I love that name. And then obviously our Money in the Bank results,
money.
We'll talk about the murder later on. Multiple murders.
Yeah.
Just
and random trees.
Straight up murder. It's the trees I'm not worried about. It's the murder.
That was, yeah.
But let's kick it off with the news. Beep, 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 beep. Man, I can't wait until we can, like, until we have a proper mix board and mics so we can actually put in sounds and all that other fun stuff.
We just need to be that guy from Police Force. Or no, that's not it. Police Academy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The sound effects guy?
Yeah.
All I see are the bleeps, the creeps, and the sweeps.
The what?
So yeah, starting off with just some movie news in general, we'll talk about the feud going on first, but, Tenet, this is just kind of a little bit, Tenet's still scheduled to release in theaters in July, which that's that, okay. That's the new Christopher Nolan movie. It's it's probably gonna,
the weird time loop thing.
Yeah. I think they're going to be reviewing it this week and see how it goes, but the movie costs $200 million, so there's no way they're putting it on streaming.
Yeah, probably not.
Absolutely not. But we'll see. I don't know. No, that's not a, luckily that's not a Universal, property, because Universal and AMC are currently, like, duking it out, trying to see who's got bigger dick energy, pretty much.
Yeah, this is going to come to an interesting conclusion. One industry is going to have to fall here.
Yeah, so this kind of goes back to
sort of
the release of Trolls World Tour, which made about $100 million off rentals from Video On Demand. The president of Universal came out and was basically like, oh, you know, this was a success, blah, blah, blah. We'd probably try to do more Video On Demand things in the future if this keeps up like that. So AMC just flopped it on the table and was like, oh, you wanted to do that? All right, fine. Then no more Universal releases in AMC if you do. And now I believe the other... I didn't type it out. The other Cineworld, it's the second largest movie chain.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, they also backed AMC. And I'm not 100%... sure how that's going to work out.
Yeah, it's interesting because I believe Trolls probably only did so well because it's a family film and a lot of families are stuck at home right now.
Well, I mean, like...
I don't know if you can release, like, you know, those niches, like... I don't know if I use that word correctly. Like, horror, or, I don't know, like, action thriller, and see if those would do just as well.
Well, I mean, like, how much did the movie cost? Because when you look at... I know, like, when they give you the price for the movie, you want to double it because that also includes marketing for the movie.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm pretty sure the last Trolls also made, like, way more money in theaters. And you have the benefit of putting it out in theaters and then putting it out on video on demand later, which then people will buy. And you still get
this.
That's
true.
So, it's weird because it's like, I understand AMC's, like, full on, like they're not fucking around. And I personally do not want theaters to go away. I hope that this whole thing is out of all of this. That's not the one thing that really gets shut down. I'd be really disappointed. But the issue is like, I think we were talking about earlier, like both of them kind of like, it's like a parasitic type of like
symbiotic.
That's it. Yeah, parasitic would be the opposite effect.
Like Venom.
Yeah, but like movie theaters depend on the movies to make money. But then at the same time, the movie, like when you look at, I'm going to look this up now. Like I'm pretty sure Trolls made like a bunch of money being released in theaters, which you're not going to get. Here it is. Yeah, I mean, $346.8 million worldwide with a budget of $125 million.
That's a lot of millions.
Yeah. But that, like I said, $125 million budget for the first one, that probably means the second one is roughly around or probably or a little bit or a little bit more. Making $100 million is not – you're not making your money back. Plus, you're also losing an extra, you know, however many millions of dollars just from – the ticket sale revenue and stuff like that. Mm. So I'm totally backing AMC on this one.
Yeah.
Because I definitely understand that it would make more sense for family, like movies aimed at children. That would make a lot more sense because like, I've been to the theater, like...
with children.
Yes. Remember, remember when we went to go see Detective Pikachu? We were the only adults there that didn't have kids?
Yeah, that was interesting.
Oh, it was terrible. Mm-hmm. It was so bad.
At least we didn't wear overcoats.
That would arouse some suspicion. I'm sure parents would love to spend $20 and not leave their house and not have to sit through a movie that they have no idea what, you know, some kids movie. So I get that. Yeah.
Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, I'm pretty sure Marvel, Disney releases in general are like a huge percentage of movie revenues and like annual income.
Oh, yeah, they are. I think it's like 25% is from Disney.
Which is obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
That is just both obnoxious and terrifying.
Yes.
Moving on, speaking of Disney, there's some positive news. Falcon and Winter Soldier are going to be resuming filming soon.
Mm-hmm. I have heard that they are decently near completion, too.
I'm pretty excited because they're filming in the Czech Republic, so they and their restrictions are starting to be slowly lifted on everything, so this is good.
Yeah,
so they'll be releasing that on time, which is nice.
Actually, rumor has it that we may be getting Scarlet Witch a little bit before Falcon and Winter Soldier, just because it's a little bit farther along, and I guess the two, I don't know, they might reference each other, but maybe not.
Well, that'd be interesting.
So if they're willing to switch it, I assume it wouldn't mess up the timeline too much.
I guess that is kind of a worry. I mean, if you look at, like, what if there's something in, like, I'm sure they don't want, like, especially with the movies being pushed back, like, if there's something in Black Widow that would hint at Winter Soldier, you don't want Winter Soldier to come out first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested. I'm always interested. I say that a lot. I'm interested in that. This piqued my inquiry. Do you have any news?
Well, we have that WandaVision filming is complete. They're just working on the visual effects right now, which they can do from home. So that's why, you know, like I said before, they might be giving us that one before Winter Soldier.
Okay.
I have, moving on to Disney Plus, the new Fury Files season.
Fury Files?
Yeah, I guess it's a animation and motion comic art about Nick Fury.
Ooh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely okay with this.
Well, I'm glad you jumped over to the Disney Plus train. Continue.
Mm-hmm. Only one more for Disney Plus. Taika Waititi is to direct and co-write with Christy Wilson Carnes the new Star Wars, unknown name as of yet.
I think that was rumored a while ago.
Yeah, I guess they confirmed it, though.
I'm all for it.
IG-88.
Mm-hmm. I think he directed
He directed a few episodes of Mandalorians.
Yeah. So he can do that. He's still, he, like, you can't tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it all seems like one fluid story. Yeah,
which is good.
Well, they do have random filler episodes where it's like, Mandalorian missions, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, exactly. Because
we get Bill Burr.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was... That
Space Boston.
That was probably one of my favorite... Yeah, the Space Boston. I can see you talked about that on Conan. Mm-hmm. It was... So speaking of Star Wars,
yeah, what do you look like, a Gungan under there? Huh? Yusa ugly?
Yusa ugly? Speaking of Star Wars, there's rumor that Hayden Christensen will be reprising his role as Anakin in the Obi-Wan miniseries. Whether that be flashback, him in the suit, something like that.
I assume it would have to be flashback unless you just want to go straight Vader. I mean, because according to the timeline, there should be no Anakin.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's very true. I mean, you can still have him kind of in the Vader outfit, I suppose. Yeah,
he's a Force ghost.
No, that well, he's that
a Force ghost talking to himself.
Yeah, Force ghost talking to himself.
Yeah, his former self has been
every
killed.
Voice in your head. Blah blah blah.
Hey, mean Snoke.
Oh God. I would rant about that movie forever. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
And the other bit is and I apologize for butchering this first name like most. Temuera Morrison, who's the guy who played Jango Fett in the Star Wars movies,
better known as
he's going to be joining the cast of The Mandalorian, according to I believe it was Variety or Forbes or one of those magazines. Now everyone's saying that he's going to be playing Boba Fett.
Hopefully. But which voice do they go with?
I think they actually changed. I'm pretty sure in the...
Yeah, they changed actors in the original one. He had two separate voices then.
No,
only four lines.
But even before him, even after that, when they did the special editions after the prequels came out, they had Morrison come in and do Boba Fett's lines.
Ah, okay.
So, like, technically his voice is canon for Boba Fett.
Well played.
But they could also go into more of a direction of the character Rex from the Clone Wars and Rebels, who was he was in the battalion with Anakin during Clone Wars. And I think he was like an older man in Rebels because they like age rapidly. So
The Disney roots that just outstretch and take over everything.
Yep.
Like a weed in the garden.
Exactly. So I mean either or
I'm okay with this.
Yeah. One. Either or I think that those will be great. Obviously Boba Fett would be really cool, although I don't want it to be too fan servicey, I guess.
I mean, we need a little fan service. I want to see him break out of a Dan Sarlacc pit.
I think they're doing a good job of it so far with not really doing that. Like, the show itself is good without being like, hey, look, it's Boba Fett, you know? But as long as it's worked into the story nice, then I'm fine with it, obviously. But so jumping from one comic-esque property to another, rumors are going around that Henry Cavill is going to be reprising his role as Superman, and that the Supergirl movie, which was supposed to be a kind of soft reboot for the Superman exos or whatever, is like quietly being kind of pushed aside.
Oh, she'll never get her day.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess she was liquefied by Doomsday, so yeah.
True. I guess Dwayne or The Rock has something to do with this too. Because
oh my God,
he really wants Henry Cavill to continue to be Superman. Like I saw a picture.
Looks pretty Supermanly.
Yeah. Plus, that would be amazing. Like when you get a proper Justice League and have like the Hall of Doom fight the Justice League or something, and then Shazam and Superman can go toe to toe with each other. I'm sorry, not Shazam, Black Adam, aka The Rock.
Exactly.
Honestly, I'm still super...
The Rock is Black Adam.
I'm still super disappointed that they didn't cast John Cena as Shazam. So then we can get that inevitable Cena Rock 3.
No.
Just like Rock...
We don't need it.
Rock bottoms and AAs from the stratosphere. Oh. It would be amazing. Then everyone would be like, we're Shazam. We can't see him. Yeah, I went too far with that one. Sorry. I have one more bit of exciting news.
And so, what is that bit of exciting news?
It was announced earlier, a couple, or this month or last month, that Comic-Con was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
But now, Comic-Con will be coming to your home because they're live streaming the panels this year.
Oh.
Yeah.
We still need to pay for them, don't we?
I think it's free. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it's free.
That doesn't sound very Comic-Con-y.
No, it doesn't. I think the event was like Comic-Con at Home. It's like the literal like name of it. They haven't released a lot of details about it so far. But yeah, basically from what it sounds like, they're going to be sorry, the Starburst was a terrible idea. I should not have eaten that while I was talking.
Makes your mouth really juicy.
I know, so juicy.
Oh, so juicy.
Juicy. Yeah, it's but the way that they've kind of announced it, it's basically going to be like all the panels that they would normally have are just going to have like streams that you can watch at home.
Are we going to get like another Black Widow trailer? Because that'd be okay. I just like the I just like the theme music, honestly.
Well, that's I mean that's pretty. That's oh my god! Can you imagine like the Marvel stream? Like, because I would scour the internet to find leaked. Any like videos?
Oh yeah, immediately from there. After.
Yeah, just being able to just watch it right then and there. Mm-hmm. Definitely, I'm all about that. I'm pretty sure it's free. Don't quote me on that, but the tag that they were doing was all super flashy and all this stuff, and it's like, oh, no more waiting in lines, blah blah blah. So. At least they're pointing out all the weaknesses when it comes to it and kind of getting to it.
I'm kind of concerned about, like, the amount of people that are going to be trying to watch the streams.
Oh, yeah, they better get ready, because it's definitely going to be a lot more people than who that would actually be at Comic-Con.
Yeah, this is going to break the internet, unless they have, like, virtual tickets or something. For Comic-Con.
Oh, I hope that's not the case.
That sounds more Comic-Con-y than free.
Yeah, it does, but I'll look that up during the break. We'll get back to that. But regardless, they'll be streaming Comic-Con this year, so that's still good. Even if it's not free, you know you have like a 2-hour window after every panel to find that one person who recorded it while he was watching mm-hmm. it, so then you can watch it, so it's like...
Yeah, I gotta get those glasses with a camera inside of them.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean they could just record it from their computer.
I said what I said.
Oh, they'll have a GoPro on their head, and the video will be them watching their computer watching the stream.
Yes.
Oh man, I bet you that they actually would copyright stuff would probably. No, it wouldn't. Maybe I don't know how that works. To be honest, I probably shouldn't have mentioned that.
Me either, but one side note, speaking of streaming, Rusev is becoming a Twitch streamer.
Nice. That's awesome. Do you know what he's streaming?
He's apparently very good at playing video games.
He
just, like, put out a video, was like, yeah, so, as you all know, I kind of got fired, so now I'm starting a Twitch stream. I want you all to see how good I am.
Does he...
It's really entertaining.
Did he change his...
He seems happy.
Does he change... That's all that matters, honestly. Yeah. Did he change his wrestling name?
I do not know.
Or is he like, okay, I'm good.
I'm Rusev.
Yeah, I'm Rusev. So yeah, that's all the news I got. Going down the list, yes it is.
I got two more things, I guess. One, Roman quit because he had two twin boys that are 8 weeks old, not because of his leukemia thing.
I still think it's weird that they're, like, editing him out of videos.
Yeah, that's a little odd. Also, Becky may be preggers, and I guess she might be relinquishing the title tonight.
Yes, we're actually... this. If you haven't noticed, since it's Monday and the pod isn't out... Mother's Day and Money in the Bank got in the way.
Yes.
So we had to push it back. So we won't know if she's preggers and relinquishing the title.
A little Seth Rollins. The littlest messiah.
Can you imagine that, like, too low. You got to get a high-pitched one when they're a kid, like, oh, God, that hurts. yeah, if that's the case, that'd be cool. We'll find out. Mm.
Yes, we look cute. We look forward to little curb stomps.
Yeah. All right. Are we ready for the second qualifier group of our Tournament of Heroes and Villains 2?
Yes.
And also there's villains. Tournament of Heroes and also there's villains.
Tournament of Heroes! And also villains, too.
Exactly. You forgot to put the echo on the heroes. Tournament of Heroes! Heroes! Heroes!
And also villains, too.
There it is. So, last week we had Nightcrawler defeating Daredevil and Captain America.
In a very close fight.
Mm-hmm. And then Captain America putting the kibosh on one Bane. Which it's good. I actually thought about this. If this was Tom Hardy Bane, Cap would have just wiped the floor with him.
Oh yeah, it wouldn't. Not yeah, even close.
It wouldn't be fair at all. So this week our matchup will be Colossus versus Venom, which is our first like villain. So The tagline is true to its name, and Thing versus Nightwing.
And no, Bane's a villain.
Well, yeah, true. I'm an idiot. Never mind. So, Bash, let's go ahead and start with Colossus and Venom. Look at all that paperwork.
That's a lot of paper there.
Right off the bat, no. Oh, my God, the Starburst. No
stop eating Starburst.
But they're all pink. I can't help it.
That's true. The pink is the best color.
Just right off the bat, first view of it, I think Colossus would win.
You would think that. So.
Oh, no.
Let's get into this. Colossus. So, there are some interesting aspects about him that I'm not sure who's actually going to win this. I haven't said these out loud to compel myself into one direction or the other. Colossus can lift up, 100 tons, I guess, is his max capacity, because he turns his body into a living metal form. This also makes him insanely durable. I believe he at one point took a 4,500-pound TNT blast.
Oh, okay. And
survived. Just right. Oh, yeah, cool story, bro.
Yeah, no problem.
Thus, it would also take 750 tons to break his arm.
750 tons? That's a...
Yes, tons of force to break his arm.
Okay, so... So far, I feel like I'm in the right.
So he's got insane durability. But also, in his metal form, this increases his stamina. It takes him days to get tired.
All right.
So, he may win. Moving on to Venom. He's got some interesting abilities, such as the ability of shape-shifting, which means he can glide, and it kind of gives him a certain adaptive camouflage. He can also produce stabbing tendrils, which I'm not sure how effective that's going to be against Colossus, but he still has little tendrils that extend from his body that can keep Colossus away from him or adapt his punch. Will not hurt
Colossus' skin.
Thus, this is true. here's where it gets interesting, though, because we have some, feats of strength for Venom. He shook off a Hulk thunderclap.
Thunder. Thunder. Thunderclap.
Yeah. Whoa! He's also fast enough to catch up to bullets. He can throw cars for blocks. He beat Juggernaut at one point. And you remember how much I said Colossus can lift?
Mm-hmm.
100 tons?
Mm-hmm.
Venom has been noted to, after he actually worked up to this level, because he started at 2, and then I think he moved slowly up to 110 tons.
So I'm just picturing Venom just bench pressing.
Yes. Insane amounts. Because Eddie Brock alone can actually bench press 500 pounds.
Once again.
Because, comics.
A crazy as a feat that is, I don't think lifting should come into account. Because neither of these people weigh that much, so.
Only in the fact that he can lift and throw Colossus around, which wouldn't necessarily damage him.
Yeah.
But this would be an interesting fight for sure.
But Colossus, it went in the met, 10 million tons is a lot. But when you're in the hundreds of millions of tons when it comes to being able to throw a person.
Yeah.
So everyone's getting tossed around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually give the edge to Venom in the tossing around. I think I think what the way the fight goes here is they kind of try to fight it out. Venom eventually figures out, like, okay, I can't duke it out with this guy because he's made of metal. Punching him hurts. So he starts just picking him up and starting to toss him around. But then he slowly gets tired and gets slow, and Colossus eventually just starts beating him. Because Colossus knows more fighting techniques than Eddie Brock, who's just technically a brawler with a symbiote, who happens to be insane.
Yeah. So once Venom starts getting tired, Colossus hits the special button, or the powers button, like in the X-Men Arcane game. He's like...
Here's the thing. I don't think Venom just gets too tired because the symbiote actually helps recover Eddie Brock. And it helps heal itself. But the fight's probably going to go on for a fair amount of time, like longer than we would televise if it was actually a like fight. And then I still think eventually Colossus's metal skin is what takes it out here.
Yeah.
Because in the end, it's living steel versus a pile of goo, however strong he may be.
Yeah.
So it's just like a two-day fight. But in the end, I think Colossus takes it.
I can go ahead. Yeah, but I agree with that.
Battered and arm fractured, but not broken.
Yeah, Colossus, strong as there is.
That's how we do it in Mother Russia.
Yeah, that's genuine farm strong. Mm-hmm. All right, so Colossus moving on to the next round against either the Thing or Nightwing.
Now this,
you know, like once again, it's one of those things where it's like I feel like Thing should win, but like Nightwing has fought off like Solomon Grundy and oh god, what the hell's that other guy's name?
You're going to need to be a little more specific here.
It's like another, like, super jack... Well, I guess Venom? Bane.
Or Bane, duh.
Yeah.
With Venom.
Yeah. Bane with Venom, exactly.
I assume he also fought King Shark at one point. He's also taken a several-story fall. Like, give me a second. 140.
140 stories?
140-foot fall.
Oh, that's why Batman survived in The Dark Knight. That's the one scene that... Sorry, I'm sidetracking. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, where he just randomly falls into a car. It's like,
he, like, saves Rachel? Yeah.
Yeah, and then later he falls, like, three stories in a construction site, and he's like...
Yeah, exactly. You're not fooling anybody, Bruce.
I didn't find many mistakes in that movie, but that was one of them.
That was one of them.
So, moving on, more about Nightwing. He's an expert acrobat, you know, because he was trained until, you know, the whole parents thing. yeah, he's mastered 10 fighting styles, including, like, including ninjutsu. I mean, he's had the same training as Batman, essentially. One of the more fun things, though, is he carries two Eskrima sticks. And it's really going to be interesting if him and Daredevil get to fight off.
But they won't. Probably unless not. We have a loser's bracket.
Not a bad idea.
And Nightwing will lose against Thing.
Yes. So, these are Eskrima sticks. They each carry a 50,000-volt taser.
Ooh.
Which, oddly enough, in his wrist gauntlets and later renditions of him, they also carry the 50,000-volt taser, so he can punch with 50,000 volts. Not really helpful against Thing, since he's rock, but if he has to go to the next level and fight Colossus, I don't know if the electricity would work with metal. I gotta do more research. He's also got wingdings, but not the, like, Microsoft Word font, or I don't know if it's just a font in general. Not the font wingdings, though. They're kind of like the Batarangs. He's got the standard ones that are, like, extraordinarily sharp. He's also got blunt ones he can use to knock people out, ones with explosives, electric ones, again, because he just seems to love the 50,000 volts. And then you're just ultrasonic ones, which will come in handy if he has to face off against Daredevil.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I assume he has, like, a utility belt junior.
Yeah, he's got a utility belt full of tricks, so it seems to just change depending on circumstance.
Yeah.
It always seems to have what you need. I think that's just the most, I don't know what I want to say, profound ability of the utility belt.
Trying to...
But aside from... You know, Dr. Doom, the Thing doesn't seem to have too many weaknesses.
That's what I've been trying to look up, like, because, I mean, those, like, 50,000 volts is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if maybe... And this is gross, but, like, they've shown in the Marvel comics underneath things like rocks is flesh. Mm-hmm. Like, it's actual flesh, which is disgusting.
Slightly.
Yeah, like the more you, yeah, it's just, it's not pleasant. So, I mean, Nightwing definitely has an advantage when it comes to speed, acrobatics.
Yes.
Like, fighting styles. This thing's only a brawl, like a street brawler, basically.
Not necessarily. He's actually been trained in formal combat and street fighting, including boxing, judo. I had a list that I forgot to write down. There's four or five of them, but he has that and street fighting, and he kind of incorporates all of those together.
Yeah, but it's none of the like finesse fighting.
No, it's not like a Nightwing level. Flippy shit. Yeah. But he does have skin that's harder than stone and can lift 100 tons, and he can fight at his peak capacity for an hour. He was also injured by Wolverine's claws, though, which only comes into play when you want to have it, or when you want to bring him up against Colossus, who was not injured by Wolverine's claws.
Well, how hard?
Fun fact.
I'm gonna look this up. You keep talking.
Hmm. Oh no, I don't really have much more than that.
How hard can Nightwing punch? Because I mean,
he can punch through brick walls, but this is harder than stone. I don't actually have a exact durability factor on his skin because he's withstood a lot, like an insane amount of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this, do you think this would come down to? Well, I don't know, because I feel like if it's just the thing, like fighting, like
yeah.
just trying to fight him, like I feel like Nightwing would probably get worn out before the thing gets knocked out.
You would think so, but Thing can fight at peak capacity for an hour, then he starts to get tired. Whereas Nightwing once patrolled upwards of 90 hours and then did four more to collect evidence when he was hunting down Two-Face.
Holy shit.
Yeah, which is really weird considering at like 72 hours your body can start hallucinating if you don't have sleep.
So basically this is another like fight in nutrition. Mm-hmm. Like Nightwing would just wear the thing down, basically.
Yeah, I think the Thing just kind of wears himself to exhaustion, and it's not technically a KO, but the Thing's just like laying in the ground like, hey,
you gotta stop. Because I always thought it would be like one of those fights where if Thing got a hold of Nightwing, mm-hmm. Nightwing would be done.
That's actually the point that I was about to bring up. But if Thing gets a hold of him.
Yeah. Like, how big of an if that is that, though?
The Thing does have pretty decent reflexes, but, I mean, Nightwing can dodge a bullet at point-blank range.
I think like 6 out of 10 times Nightwing would win.
Probably. I don't think this is quite as close as the Nightcrawler Daredevil one, but it's still really close.
So just two more matches of attrition to... Am I saying that right?
I think so.
Thank you. Wow, okay. So, that... Yeah, I think after a while, the Thing would just get worn out. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, and...
Especially if he can... I don't know how much, like, the 50,000 volts will affect Thing, but he can just keep on hitting him, like, one after the other, even if it's, like, a house shock. Like,
yeah.
If you're changing a bunch of electrical outlets in a house, that starts to hurt after a while.
Yeah, and that's not even taking into account anything else that's on his belt mm-hmm. that he would be using, so...
Yeah, I believe I've seen concussion grenades at one point.
Oh, Jesus. That's unnecessary. Well, I guess not right now, but... Always prepared. Batman.
I mean, it's just a loud, destructive blast. No actual, like, blasts.
Yeah.
Because comics.
All right, well then, so...
Oh yeah, don't forget his grappling hook, too. I don't think that would... I don't know how much that would help him here, but...
Yeah, that's true. But I still think Nightwing would probably take it. No offense Thing.
Oh yeah, no, probably.
All right, well then, I mean, if you disagree, let us know. Or if you agree, let us know. Somebody please talk to us.
We're all alone. We're quarantined.
So, all right. So it looks like the now here's the real kicker. Do we want to switch up the the semifinals or keep it like bracketed like that?
Oh, each round just shuffle them?
Yeah. That's up to you, because I mean, right now what we have is going into the first two quarterfinal rounds would be Nightcrawler and Captain America, and then Colossus and Nightwing. And I feel like I can already predict what the winners of that one are going to be.
This is true. Let's see what the effects of all the other ones are before we decide.
That's very true. All right.
I kind of like the random aspect of it. That anyone can be knocked out by one bad match.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, that's very true.
Although in the past, that has really enraged me in certain cases. Like, what the? That wasn't. That's the only person that can beat them, and they're street tier at best. You know, those moments. Oh.
Unbridled rage. Yes. Alrighty. Alright, so before we get into the rest of it, after a quick goog, that's Google for short, what the cool kids say.
I don't think they do.
No, they don't. Becky is pregnant, and she's relinquished the title to Asuka.
Yes, I guess it was in the briefcase the whole time.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I think Asuka might have turned face. I don't know. She, like, spoke in English. I was like, oh, congratulations. I'm so happy for you. And then she started chanting Becky. It was, like, a really sweet moment. It's going to be really weird if she starts, like, poison misting people again on the next yeah, Raw.
Right? Still, like, leaking out of her eyes and shit. So, yeah. Good for her. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that we'll never see Becky Lynch again.
I mean, maybe.
She'll probably come back. She said that she's definitely stepping away from wrestling for a bit, so.
Mm-hmm. Like Ronda Rousey, except she's actually, you know, Becky's actually pregnant.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So before we get to Money in the Bank, let us run through the AEW NXT for this week.
AEW.
Mm-hmm. First show in a month that was live. We had Pyro.
Nice.
Probably more people that should have been in one area.
I mean,
but it wasn't a crowd. It was just a bunch, just more wrestlers. So I'm just going to run through the list really quick because there are some pretty interesting stuff. But we got it. I think next week is the go home show before Double or Nothing. Mm-hmm. So we'll be having predictions out for that at some point.
Yes. Oh, man. I just got the title back.
I mean, you did. We don't have to. You don't have to put it on the line. I'm just a generous champ, that's all.
That's true. We technically don't have to for AEW events.
Yeah. Even though I'm at a huge disadvantage because I don't, like, watch WWE really anymore.
Yes.
Because it just makes me sad. Anyway.
NXT's fine.
Yeah, I mean, okay. That's, yeah, fair enough. So, AEW this week started it out with Cody defeating Joey Janela. A lot of back and forth to this match. Cody ends at the crossroads. He's all fired up because his brother got the shit kicked out of him last week by Lance.
Makes sense, yeah. I mean, he probably should have been fired up last week and stopped Lance, but whatever.
Yeah. After that, we had Nyla Rose defeating Kenzie Page, who is someone I've never heard of before, but apparently she's just an 18-year-old wrestler from... I didn't write down what school that she was in.
Yeah, that's what Jeff Hardy said, too.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Nyla just destroyed her.
I mean,
pretty much
probably.
Squash match. I mean, she's this first time we see the champ in a while, so.
Yeah.
Just sense that with all this nonsense.
I mean, you kind of knew that was going to happen with a lot of people that she would face. I mean, Nyla versus Awesome Kong would be great, but she just seemed to vanish.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm excited to see Hangman Page. Because he hasn't been on TV ever since this went down.
Oh, for some reason I put two and two together and got five and thought Hangman Page is facing Nyla Rose for a second.
Well, that would be interesting. In an intergender championship match?
A little bit.
In between the next match, we had a promo from MJF. First a vignette from him and Sean Spears. And then they were both interviewed in the ring. with Tony Schiavone, who announced that MJF is going to be facing Jungle Boy at Double or Nothing, which then was followed by a spick tape from MJF, who was all upset that he's got to wrestle Jungle Boy.
Why is he upset?
Probably because he's like a chicken shit heel.
Oh, I thought it would be because he's like, Jungle Boy's not prestigious enough to wrestle me.
No, I think it's just because, like...
He doesn't want to wrestle.
Yeah. I mean, he's been... His excuse for not wrestling for the longest time was first he had a hangnail.
Oh, yeah.
And then he cut himself shaving, which he's currently recovering from.
Oh, thank God he's okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that.
But that led into...
He does great character work.
Yeah, right? That led into our match with Jon Moxley defeating Frankie Kazarian, which was a pretty good match, but afterwards was the exciting part. Yes. Because the Dark Order came out and just started whooping on Moxley, and followed by Brody Lee, who then challenged him to the belt, or for the belt, rather. So
I challenge you to the belt.
So we'll have Brody Lee versus Jon Moxley at Double or Nothing.
Oh, I don't know if this is too soon or not, because I feel like Brody Lee should actually take it from Moxley here, but...
He might.
I also feel like it's too soon for Moxley to lose the title after Jericho reigned for so long.
Well, yeah, that is true, but, like, Moxley can definitely, like, I feel Moxley is...
Yeah, Moxley or Jericho could both take a loss and be fine.
Yeah, and plus, I like Moxley when he's fighting for something. Mm-hmm. That's when a lot of his, like, crazy side comes out. So you can still have him and Brody Lee feud against each other. And Mox has already defended his belt a couple times. Did he face it against Darby? I know he defended against Jake Hager.
Yeah, I know, but those weren't, like, big ones. It wasn't, like, a really big pay-per-view match. It was just Dynamite episodes.
Yeah, well, I guess that's true. We'll see how that goes, because Brody Lee's been on a tear. Mm-hmm.
I know, but he's only been doing squash matches. I kind of think his first big match, he might have to take it. This is going to be an interesting betting pool.
Yeah, right? So, yeah, after that, we had Lance Archer just wiping the floor with QT Marshall. Marshall, once again, is all fired up for Lance after Lance beat the shit out of him. He got a little bit of offense in, but... It's Lance Archer. Handle him.
Yes.
During the fight, though, Brandy was down with her. During the fight, Britt Baker was in the crowd, and she's been doing this thing with her shoe. Like, she throws it at someone or is, like, waving it at someone like they're going to hit her. So Brandy took it and then threw it at one point. And then after the match, Britt came into the ring, DDT'd Brandy, and then Jake came out. And, like, sprawled his snake.
Jake,
like,
the Snake, not Jake Hager.
Yes, Jake the Snake sprawled his snake, like, the literal snake, all over Brandy. And there was, like, an actual...
Damien 16.
There was an actual excuse for why Cody wasn't there, too, because, like, it was, like, where the arena is to where the talent is at in the building is, like, a good, solid, like, 3-4 minutes... like, run, basically. Oh. So they're trying to make excuses for why Cody doesn't just show up and try to save his wife whenever she's, like, in trouble.
Makes sense, yeah.
Which I'll take. But we got to see a snake, and that's always fun.
I mean, it's Jake the Snake. That's kind of what has to happen.
Yeah. He's quite the sleaze. It's nice.
Oh, he's good at it.
Yeah, he's real good at it. And then I actually put down for the final match of the night, I just typed in, just watch this match. It was Jericho and Sammy defeating Kenny Omega and Matt Hardy in, like, some sort of, like, ridiculous street brawl match.
Yes, it was great.
Matt Hardy was Matt Hardy first, and then when he got shoved into an ice machine and came out as Damascus, and then, like, ran over Sammy Guevara with a golf cart.
Yeah, he took that hit.
There's this crazy moonsault off a lift by Kenny Omega, and then I think the finish was with Jericho, like, just power bombing Kenny onto the golf cart, and then hitting him with the Judas effect. So, I mean, like, it was...
That elbow.
Yeah, I like, describing it doesn't give it any sort of justice if you haven't seen it, which, I mean, it's Monday, so I'm hoping people have seen it already, but Jesus, man. That golf cart thing. That was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I loved it. But yeah, so... I'm pretty sure, let me look at my calendar I got right here, because I carry a calendar with me all the time. Was it the 23rd, 24th is Double or Nothing?
I don't know. That's your department,
Bob. Yeah, I have to double check on that. But I'm pretty sure next week we'll have to get predictions up for Double or Nothing.
All right, I got to catch up because I didn't see last week's episode, just that match. And it was great.
It was great. But yeah, that was, Saturday, May 23rd. There you go. So next week we'll have predictions up at some point. So yeah, how was NXT this week? Any golf carts?
No golf carts. It was pretty decent, and there's some matches that felt like filler. So it starts off with Dijakovic versus Gargano, which we found out was happening last week. And he is just now full heel. We had a new music, a fake leg injury, a ton of Candice LeRae interference.
Mm.
Like, to the point where, based on what I've seen refs do, she probably should have been kicked out, but wasn't for whatever reason. We also had Johnny trying to take the turnbuckle pad off for a lot of the match. And Dijakovic goes for a powerbomb, and he actually does, like, grab the pad and kind of, like, pull it off. Punches out for Dijakovic, and that does a, Frankensteiner into the corner turnbuckle. Then he gets the one final beat DDT, that, like, jump over the ropes DDT he does.
Mm-hmm.
Nailed that. 1-2-3. Johnny Gargano wins.
All right.
It's kind of sad because Dijakovic, like, he didn't really look strong, but he didn't really, like, look weak in defeat here, but he does need a win eventually. He keeps on losing. Well, he lost to Keith Lee a lot.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, it's Keith Lee.
Yes, I know. And then it's Gargano, but still. Next up, we have a Imperium challenge to the Broserweights. I guess Malcolm Bivens Enterprises is going to relax on that. Or maybe they'll challenge him next week and we'll still get some kind of a 3 or 4-way like I suggested last week. I mean, possibly.
I mean, but we are the only podcast out here, so people do listen to our opinions.
This is true.
Despite what the numbers say.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we have another interim cruiserweight tournament match. It's Tozawa versus Gallagher, and they continue to make Gallagher look really good before he gets beat. With a DDT on the hardest part of the ring, the apron by Tozawa.
Not the apron.
Big ol' senton, 1-2-3. And then he calls out El Hijo de Fantasma after the match. He's like, I'm going to beat you. It was simple but effective.
All right.
He's just like, I've never fought you, but I'm going to beat you. The end. Next up, we had Xia Li versus Chelsea Green of Robert Stone Enterprises, which he's got one wrestler, so I don't know how it's an enterprise, but... I don't know. Lee beats Chelsea down till Aaliyah, or Lee beats Chelsea down till Aaliyah causes a distraction, and then Zaya kicks her in the face. But then Green gets the "I'm prettier because of that distraction" for the 1-2-3. Robert Stone kind of helps Aaliyah to her feet, so maybe they are getting a second one. Zaya Lee kind of looked good in this match until the distraction. It's your standard, you know, baby faces are stupid match.
Hmm.
But Xia Li doesn't seem to have much character except, like, I kick people in the face really hard. Which, I mean, it worked for Asuka up until they let her just be Asuka. Now she's this crazy, dancing, Japanese, cursing, princess, poison-spitting girl.
Yeah, whatever that is.
And I'm okay with it. It's a great character. And her kicking people in the head really hard worked. But, like, I don't know, Xia Li is just like, oh, okay. Kick you in the head again. Boom. Kick you in the head. It's... great fighting, don't get me wrong, but there's no character development, so her little feud with Aaliyah that's going on doesn't really...
have much weight to it.
Yeah, not so much. Next up, we have the debut of Karrion Kross.
Oh, Karrion!
Yeah, what can I say? It's an amazing entrance. It starts out with, like, this smoke everywhere. Then there's, like, a raven that kind of, like, flies in the middle of the screen, and it's all in black and white, and you kind of really forget that the arena is empty, and then it switches to red lights, and they're kind of like strobing, and you have Scarlett Bordereau lip syncing, which that was a little weird. That was the only part of the, not Scarlett Bordereau, but her lip syncing the theme song. That was the only part I was kind of like,
eh. Why?
I don't
just
know.
Just because she wasn't singing it?
Yeah, just something about that was like, why are you, like, I don't understand. Like, why aren't you either really singing it or not singing at all and just walking out looking sexy? This just looks kind of weird with her, like, mouthing words to a song.
Yeah, that's odd. You can't really get away with that in an empty arena.
Well, it kind of looked like an empty arena, though, so.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, if
the music was insanely loud.
If there was people, there would be cheering, and it would cover up the fact that she's lip singing. But because it's just her lip singing with nothing, it would be like you or me trying to lip sing to a song, but like looking at it, you know.
Oh no! Like the lips were just a little bit off.
Oh, okay.
That's how I knew. But oh yeah, that's right. There was a match that happened there too. Leon Ruff. There was two back suplexes and a cross jacket, and he tapped before the smoke cleared.
Really?
Yeah, I think they call the suplexes Doomsday Saito.
Tap before the smoke cleared?
Yeah, like the smoke from his entrance, it really filled the arena. Like before that was clear, Leon tapped. It was a fast match.
Man, I thought that was like a euphemism of sorts to of somebody like tapping right away. Like have you seen those matches when like they put him in the submission and it's like an immediate tap out?
Oh yeah,
I like that. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna start using that. Let's slogan that: tapping before the smoke's clear. Don't do it, boys.
Okay, well,
sorry. Go ahead.
But that literally happened though. So, yeah, this was a great debut. Like, I think WWE nailed it for anyone that says they can't, you know, debut a character. There you go. And this is also one that they didn't, like, run out too long with promos.
That's good.
Well, we also know who Killer Cross is. Like, his Impact debut was great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that definitely helps. They didn't have to hype up too much.
Yeah, so they're like, okay, we're going to give you a couple of promos. We're going to have you attack Ciampa.
Go ahead and start stalking people.
Yeah, here's your debut. You're going to beat someone down. He'll probably start a feud with Ciampa next.
Just remember, when you get to the main roster, they're going to shit all over you.
Well, that's later.
I know. This. I just
That comes later.
That comes later. Sorry, so...
So we
Cross.
Yeah, we have the bros accepting the Imperium match later.
Bros.
Mm-hmm. Moving on. Charlotte versus Io Shirai. I was waiting for this match a lot, and I kind of thought it would be better.
Yeah, that's upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do the standard thing where they can't have anyone, you know, lose here because they can't have anyone look bad. Because I think they are going to actually have Io take the title from Charlotte, which makes me excited. I'll get into that. It kind of seems like Io Shirai is actually like outmaneuvering Charlotte a little bit at the beginning. But, you know, eventually she becomes Charlotte, the bigger, stronger person.
The Flair.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Charlotte to the Flair.
Yeah, for a moment it looks like Io's going to take back control. She kind of has her like outside of the ring and she goes for a moonsault. And Charlotte hits her with a very conveniently placed kendo stick.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. And then that, I guess that's just it. She kind of like tries to hurt her knee. And then Rhea Ripley makes her triumphant reemergence.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still upset. So.
Yeah.
It's still sore.
A little bit. I'm kind of torn because I really want Io to take the title off of Charlotte. But... I really want Rhea to get her redemption and take the title off of Charlotte.
Especially now that, like, after the Women's Money in the Bank, Shayna Baszler is, like, just another face in the crowd.
Yep.
But we'll get to that in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Sad. Very sad.
Yes. Moving on. Kushida versus Jake Atlas. This is a really high-flying and fast match. It was terrific. Atlas looks to be in control, and he kind of goes for, like, a springboard, and Kushida just, like, grabs him midair for the armbar.
I love any like out like reversal from high risk to submission move. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're the best.
Oh, it looked terrific. Kushida obviously won here. He does really good whenever he's here.
Kushida?
Oh, never mind. I was thinking of Akira Tozawa.
Mm-hmm.
He does really good on NXT, but then whenever he's up at the main roster, he just loses.
Yeah.
World's greatest jobber. Next up, we got Cameron Grimes versus Denzel Dejeuner. Grimes kind of goes for the cave-in early. Denzel gets a little bit of offense in, and then Grimes gets the cave-in just, like, out of nowhere. And then he cuts a promo on Balor, who's like, okay, you know, I didn't attack Balor, but if I did, I would do it to his face. I would just walk right up there and slap him. But he doesn't notice that Balor's actually, like, appeared in the ring behind him.
Oh, no!
Up until, like, the promo's ending, and he's like, oh, you'd slap me, eh? Well, go for it there!
He's back in the States.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, Cameron Grimes kind of, like, backs off and goes for a punch, and he just gets a sling blade for his trouble. So I guess we're going to see that at some point.
You're not supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope Cameron Grimes looks good and it's not just a squash match. I kind of like his weird redneck-y character. His, like, redneck steampunk hat character.
Redneck steampunk?
Yeah, he's like part redneck hat, part steampunk. It's really hard to put quite a hold on his
character. I'm picturing like Becky Lynch's old outfit with overalls.
That's an interesting thought. Moving on, our main event. Velveteen Dream versus Adam Cole, baby. Cole really tries to end it early here. He tries to go for a last shot early and a Panama Sunrise. Undisputed Era came out at some point, you know, because they're like, okay, this is not working. We got to run distraction. And then Dexter Lumis just randomly pops up from underneath the ring. he kind of like fights him off, but he like throws Roddy into the ref accidentally. Which sucks because Dream just hits a purple Rainmaker elbow, but there's no one to count the pin.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So the Undisputed Era has started to recover. He jumps out of the ring, or Velveteen Dream jumps out of the ring to take out the Undisputed Era and Lumis, kind of. But as he's sliding back in, he eats a last shot as the ref recovers in time to count the 1-2-3. Adam Cole, baby, your champion. It was really weird seeing him come out, because you normally don't hear him say bae-bae with the crowd. Now you do.
Ooh. We shouldn't watch that. We shouldn't talk about that. Not yet. Sorry, I heard something about Velveteen Dream. And I wasn't 100% sure on what it was, but after reading this headline, we should probably stay clear of that one.
Yeah, I heard he was in trouble, but I didn't hear how exactly.
It's not that good.
Ew.
Yep. All right. So that was our Wednesday night wrestling. Let's go ahead and move on to the Sunday night wrestling.
Yes.
Money in the Bank. The new champ over here. Not me.
Yes.
This guy.
Your new champion. And proper champion.
I was going to say, I'm kind of glad you are champion, but you keep throwing that proper nonsense out, and I don't appreciate it one bit.
Yeah, too bad.
So, I didn't even look who took, like, second or third. But let's just go ahead and run down the card, and then we can talk about the murders afterwards.
Yes.
Not Velvet. That does not involve Velveteen Dream.
Oh, yeah, the implications.
Whoa, the implications. The first and only pre-show match we had was Jeff Hardy versus Cesaro, which was odd, but welcomed.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, I appreciated it. I always knew Cesaro was going to lose because...
This is Jeff's first match back, so...
Yeah, and Cesaro.
Yeah, and Cesaro. Yeah, other than that, it was pretty decent. That's
they do what they do.
Yes,
we've seen what they do.
Yep.
I really love when Cesaro does that like lift from the apron to like a suplex from the second rope.
Oh yeah,
it just kind of showcases how strong he actually is.
He is so strong. I'm surprised they don't. That's why it's like it's infuriating. They don't use him more. Vince thinks he's boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you mean? Look at him. He's not boring at all.
Yeah, people love him.
Yeah.
The first official match of the night, we have the New Day defending against Miz and Morrison, Forgotten Sons, and the Lucha House Party, which actually did a pretty decent job.
Yes, except for one point, I think I got the tags confused. I'm pretty sure the Lucha House Party was both the legal people at the same time.
It seemed like it, didn't it?
Which, is that a thing? Because then you could, like, tag the pin, 1, 2, 3, like, yay!
That, actually, I never really thought about that.
We got the pin.
That's,
but you were also pinned.
That sounds like a win for a seedy heel group at some point. And then just one time thing, and then they'll change it, because it's like, no one's ever done that before, so.
Santino Morella could have pulled it off.
Oh, God. But yeah, other than that, this match was pretty good. I personally thought it was going to end at one point in the middle of the match, because it seemed like they had an end sequence going on.
Yeah, that was pretty early on.
And then it kept going, and just to end with the same result of New Day retaining.
Yes.
But other than that, it was really good. I mean,
actually, at one point, I did think Lucha House Party might take it.
Yeah, they were out of tear towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a,
yeah, that was like a no. Really? Are they gonna?
Are they gonna?
And then no.
I
no,
will say, I gotta
New
point
New
out.
New Day retain.
What's,
Vince tell, loves the New Day.
Tell me the guy's name, the Forgotten Sons guy that doesn't wrestle.
Jackson Riker?
Yes.
No, he wrestles. He just has a very limited move set.
Okay. I don't understand why he got thrown out. It's a fatal four-way match.
There's no DQ technically.
No DQ. Even Michael, I actually...
Still.
Like, going back...
Yeah, it's like, perfectly legal, no DQ. You're out of here!
Yeah. Like, Michael Cole, like, said that beforehand. And then right afterwards, he got thrown out. And then just silence from Michael Cole.
I don't know.
That was weird. But that was my only gripe with that match.
They had to have a way to remove him from the ring.
I guess.
I don't know. I think there are parts that were kind of sloppy. Like, yes, they're doing high-flying acrobatics, so maybe I'm expecting a little bit too much, but I don't know. There are certain moves that looked a little bit, like, weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah.
I think I did notice a couple botches, but again, they're doing, like, way harder moves than the rest of the other matches.
Those things seem like such a pain in the ass to put together.
Yeah, eight people.
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, you need to figure out how to take seven people out of a match, essentially, maybe six, to pin one.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, after that we had Bobby Lashley versus R-Truth. For some reason, wasn't on the pre-show, but...
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be MVP, but I guess he had just had Bobby Lashley waiting for him.
Yeah, and Truth tried to teach MVP how to be a baller.
Mm.
And...
Ballin'. And then he accidentally slapped Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
R-Truth is just a great character.
He really is. I think he's... I don't know if this was before or afterwards. I think it was after the fact. He talked about how he's gonna get his baby back from Tom Brady. Like, talking because Gronk is still the 24/7 champion.
Yes.
Oh man, I hated R-Truth for such a long time.
I really do want to see like halftime Gronk just like going back to the locker room or something, and just out of nowhere you see R-Truth like surprise roll up 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, right.
Take the title from him.
Just sprint out.
Either that or he just wins the game.
Have all of the Buccaneers come and chase him out.
Or he just wins the game. All of the players kind of like dogpile on him. And then you just randomly see, like, R-Truth jump on top of the pile, a referee counts to three, then everyone gets off, and you just see Truth, like, grabbing the 24/7 title from the sideline, running away.
Oh, that was good. That would be amazing. And they could probably do that, too, now that there's that synergy.
All
with
non-football
Fox.
Fans, though, or They're all like, non-WWE what? Fans would be like, what the hell was that?
Is this the XFL? What's this shit?
Yeah, the Undertaker randomly giving promos. Well, that was the old XFL.
Yeah. So yeah, after that we had Bayley versus Bobby Lashley won that one. I don't know if anyone could have not guessed that, but so we had Bayley versus Tamina in a match that I actually enjoyed.
Yeah, I was really surprised considering Tamina's finisher is a sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
That she can't get above her waist really that
well,
much.
Well, she did a pretty good, like, I actually put down, I really liked when she
she did get more flexible with that.
She like what
She like threw, they were outside.
Oh yeah, she like threw her on the bottom rope and then clotheslined her.
Yeah, that was really interesting. But like
that was really cool. But the slow like crucifix roll up pin thing was not. It looks really weird.
Like
Austin rolling up Owen Hart weird.
I'm just like the ending with Sasha, like. God, Bayley babyfaces are so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so dumb. That match was in the... Of course, what happened was...
I think she's technically a heel.
Huh?
I think Tamina's technically a heel.
Still, just use your goddamn head.
Nope. Gotta chase Sasha.
Like, she did the Samoan drop, had the pin going, and then, yeah. Bad. I hate when they do that. It's such a cheap... Like, because any sane person would do nothing. They would just stay on the pin and then go after him.
Well, yeah, even if they break up the... I think Tamina was like, oh, you're going to break up the pin. But even if they break up the pin, then it was a DQ. So then you get like a, you know, the commissioner's okayed me to have a steel cage match so Sasha can't interfere. Only to have the cage door banged in her head right at the end of the match and have Bayley crawl out.
I don't know. I think there was enough time where they can either get the pin or if she were actually running into the match, you can just get... Then you can get up. She wasn't even in the ring. That's my issue. She just like... Barely got up on the apron, and Tamina was like, "What are you doing?" Yeah, and just giving her the like crazy, "I'm gonna beat you to death" look.
Nobody's meaner than Tamina.
Nobody's meaner than Tamina except her father. So yeah, that was that match. It was good, and then Tamina's stupid.
Yep.
So moving on to Bray versus Braun.
Braun.
This was an okay match. I love Bray Wyatt when he's just Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, his entrance is terrific. And he's like, "I'm sorry. Look what you made me do."
And he's like thanking the announcing team for like doing such a good job.
Yeah.
It's like he's like, "Thank you, Mike." He's like, "Michael, you're doing a good job despite what anybody says."
That was terrific. I love the puppets just randomly showing up during the match too.
Yeah, just cheering on Bray. But anyway, it was a pretty okay match. At the end, Braun tricked Bray by coming, like, having the mask and, like, getting on his knees like he was, you know, like they were going to do it. And Bray seemed really happy about it. And this is what made me sad because he was so happy, like, the whole match, too. And, and then Braun just tricked him, just took the mask off, stomped on it. Power slam started yelling how he's his own man, which I was a nice touch. Like right after the pin, he got up. He's like, "You didn't make me, I made me," kind of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, that was a nice touch. But then,
which I think it could have been a little faster. He probably should have like tore the mask off, just picked him up, power slammed him.
You gotta be dramatic about it though.
Yeah, I know.
The drama.
I know. Then you could have like picked the mask up, like put it on his face and like stomped on it or something and then pinned him.
Well, we're getting the Fiend after anyway. Like this is, I think this is last match. This match is what's going to really, we were talking about it when it was going like Bray should lose a lot if as Bray Wyatt,
then it's just the Fiend.
And then it's just the Fiend. Like no Bray, only Fiend. But you even saw like when he was all, he had the like really fucked, like creepy look on his face. And then the Fiend started flashing on the screen and stuff. So there might be a rematch in the future, which honestly, if there is, I don't think it should be for the belt. Just don't put the belt on Bray. Yeah. But you can still have it be like, "I'm not looking for the belt, Braun. I'm looking for you," kind of thing.
Yeah, he said, I want that to be like, you know, "I want to fight you again" or something. Then Bray or Braun's just like, "You had your chance to get the title" or something. Then Bray just goes, "Oh no, I don't care about the title. Mm-hmm. I never did.
I care about you, Braun. Your family." Oh, wonderful. Or however he talks. Or that's how he used to talk. He doesn't talk like the bayou kind of thing or whatever the hell he did.
Yeah.
I don't want to be super loud.
He's not the cult leader anymore.
No. Afterwards, we had Drew versus Seth for the WWE Championship.
Drew.
This is probably one of my favorite like wrestling matches of the night.
I mean, yeah, look who's involved. It definitely had the right outcome, though.
Yeah.
The back and forth was terrific.
The back and forth was really good. That honestly, the Claymore kick is such a good finisher for like he got that out so fast at the end and like booted the fuck out of Seth right in the noggin.
Yeah, that was a really weird but good sequence at the end.
Yeah. So
like, oh, headbutt, super kick, Claymore.
Drew retains, but then he showed the sign of respect afterwards, which I liked. I think actually kind of I saw some really weird pictures of Seth from tonight. So I think that's carrying over this whole, like, maybe his, like, messiah aspect is, like, shooking him a little bit. Like, he keeps losing.
Thou shooketh?
Or that's just the disgruntled hair, the disgruntled man who knows that he's having a child.
That could be stress.
All right. So, the final match of the night. And on maybe my favorite thing of this pay-per-view. This fucking match was just terrific. The weirdest thing in the world. So starting out with starting out with the awkward introducing everyone and having them just stand there while people do their entrance, basically. On the women's side, we start with Asuka, like a floor up on like the balcony.
No, we end with Asuka a floor up.
No, that's how they
start the match.
No, we start the match. We start the match with Asuka jumping off the thing and then getting in the elevator and riding up while everyone else takes the stairs. I'm just gonna run through the highlights. If there's any I missed, let me know.
I would like to point out she doesn't get to the roof because later they push a button, so she's like in the elevator still, but like hiding behind the panel. It's terrific,
right? Let's see. I wrote down Dana is kind of dumb and gets the wrong case. There's a like clearly not there Stephanie McMahon cameo.
Oh yes.
We had Brother Love in the bathroom.
And then he washes his hands.
Rey Mysterio giving him a knowing smile, which I also liked. This is definitely out of order. I should have probably put this in order. There's a food fight that's involved with Paul Heyman, everyone else.
Yeah.
Shayna Baszler chokes out Rey Mysterio at one point.
I really think Shayna should have choked out Paul Heyman. That would have been entertaining.
The HQ apparently has an entire room dedicated to The Undertaker.
Blacklight and all.
Yeah, including, I would say, casket and all.
Well, I mean, when you say The Undertaker, that's assumed.
I do like that. I do like that kind of, like, PTSD, that basically. That
every time AJ sees The Undertaker, he's just like, oh, God.
I guess it might be easier to talk about what everyone else did. Like, Otis first started out by putting the weights on AJ, and then when AJ got out of that, he got locked in the Undertaker room and just had, like, non-flashbacks the whole time.
Yeah.
Then him and Daniel Bryan end up in Vince McMahon's office at one point. And with Vincent in there wearing the jeans, his casual wear.
Yeah, that was really weird.
And
just, ow! They fixed the chairs. Like, oh, sorry, sir.
I did put down Otis is just the best. Everything he did, even when they're introducing everyone, and like he's sitting there and he's just like, oh yeah, and like Rey Mysterio comes out, and he's like, those are some nice colors, Rey. I like them colors, Rey.
Yeah, Otis's commentary this entire match was just on point.
Here's what bugged me. So, Dana was taken out of the match because she slipped and got a concussion. Not, like, in real life, but she probably did. Like, she slipped on, like, water. that's an actual thing.
I thought she appeared later and someone else took her out.
No, that's how she was... That was the last that you see of Dana was her slipping and hitting her head on the floor.
Oh, my.
Like, after slipping in the mop. Also, that clown was not Doink the Clown.
No, it was
there was
not.
Just a clown there. That was weird. Carmella got put through a table during the food fight. Shayna Baszler just disappeared, like literally.
No, Nia Jax chokeslammed her, I think, into a wall, perhaps.
Okay.
Or just chokeslammed her,
I guess. Because then the women's ended with who is it?
Lacey.
Oh, Lacey. How did Lacey get taken out? Or she was up there?
No, Lacey made it to the roof.
Yeah, Lacey made it to the roof. Nia made it to the roof, and Asuka made it through the roof. Asuka, thank God, saving everybody. the pain of having Corbin win 2 years in a row.
But preventing me from having a perfect card.
It's okay, because, like, I will say it is pretty dumb to me, to, like, thinking it's, like, she's, like, pushing him off because she has to get the case, but it's, like, there are two separate cases.
Yeah, he's like, no. She's like, how did that ass? Smacks him, yeah. He kicks him. It's great.
So in Retribution, Baron Corbin kills two of the wrestlers.
Yeah.
Just, and now I will say,
yeah, so Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black just got thrown off the side of the building.
I'll say, if you look at the, because they do all those stupid, like, action top-down shots, You can see the black mats around the arena. But I'm assuming they don't want you to see that, and because the commentator didn't say anything about anything, so everybody is just under the assumption, and even the wrestlers, because after Aleister Black tweeted a picture of a ghost afterwards. But yeah, so Corbin just throws Rey and Aleister Black off the buildings, presumably to their death. All so right. We will never see them again. Selena Vega's on the market.
Ooh, man, maybe we should include them in the Tournament of Power if they survive this.
Yeah, if they could. Yeah, how tall is Titan Towers?
I don't know. We can see how many
stories. Got a decent amount of stories. Mm-hmm. But yeah, okay. So that happens. All that stuff is being thrown out. Otis tries to climb the ladder, and he breaks the first ring, which is like, I don't get. Like, I've seen Mark Henry climb ladders before.
But it's funnier if it's Otis.
I guess, because...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's basically it. Let's see. Corbin murders Rey, throwing him off. Oh, yes. So then, probably the greatest ending of any Money in the Bank ever, you have Corbin and AJ battling over the case. They both get it off. They're tugging on it. Elias comes out of nowhere. Hits Corbin in the back with a guitar. He falls down. AJ fumbles with the case, lands directly in Otis's hand. Otis is your Money in the Bank champion. I did not see this coming at all. And I'm me just, either. I was beyond happy.
Part of me wanted to pick Otis too, and I was like, no, there's no way.
Oh, I was so happy when that happened. Like, everything is coming up Milhouse for him. Like, it's like, oh man, it's great. So I'm really, I feel bad for Tucker.
Yeah.
Because
no one likes Tucker.
It's not that no one likes Tucker. It's just, I think at this point, like, they see Otis as like a single star. So like, we're never going to see Tucker again until they feud at some point.
Oh no. Didn't he say he's going to challenge for the tag titles?
Are they?
I think so.
Otis?
I think that's what Otis said he'd do. He'd cash him in for the tag team titles. I'm just not sure who they're going to tag team against.
Ooh.
Because you have Street Profits on one side, New Day on the other. So one of them has to lose the title to a heel, since Vince doesn't like face-face matches.
That makes it even better. Otis is such a good guy. Mm-hmm. He can cash in on anyone, but he'd go for the one where his buddy can also get a belt too.
Yep.
Fucking awesome. God, I'm just going to weep when everything comes crashing down on him.
Oh, yeah. Because
you know it's going to happen. And it's probably going to be Dolph Ziggler's fault.
No, it's going to be Baron Corbin.
Oh,
you God. Know it's going to be Baron Corbin.
Corbin has...
He is the worst.
He just has those, like, creepy, rapey vibes to him. I just don't like it.
Yeah, exactly.
I do not like it at all.
He does his job well.
So, yeah. That's Money in the Bank. What'd you think of it as a whole?
Poor Shayna. It was really easy to watch, though.
Yeah, it was short. I mean, we started in late, but it was still like, I think like 2:45, like 3 hours, including the pre-show, which for a WWE pay-per-view is short as hell.
Yeah, I mean, well, empty arena, so you can't have too long matches.
Yeah, that's very true.
You can't have too many rest holds.
That's very true.
There's no cheering, you know, crowd chanting. You can't will your guy on if you're behind a TV screen.
You're right. Oh, boy, the yawns are coming in. So, yeah, do you have anything else about the pay-per-views?
I do not.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, I don't have my belt, but I'll get it back.
Probably not.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're man enough to defend it at Double or Nothing, you really want to solidify yourself as, like, the ultimate champ, you should put it on the line. What do you... I mean,
You really want to go up against the most dominant champion in House of Pod title champion history.
I mean, if you are the most dominant champion, it shouldn't matter. I, the lonely peasant, was defending it on AEW.
Yes, I have no reason to defend it against lonely peasants, though, do I?
Okay. Well, that's the podcast for today.
Yes.
I'm going to go to bed. Mm-hmm. It's going to be wonderful. Of course. I tried to do Matt Hardy, but then Bane came out because we've been doing that earlier.
It happens.
God, what is life? Well, so for House of Pod, I'm Mike.
And I am your House of Pod champion, Bash.
Yeah, goodbyes.